I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Achtung Law, broadcasting from the beautiful South Berlin. Accept no substitute.
Hello dear listeners, welcome to Achtung Millwall, being recorded in the immediate post-match period after today's 2-0 loss up there at Elland Road. Leeds go top of the table, a goal difference scored of 42 to 41 over Leicester, 82 points, Ipswich in third on 81, so clearly we've been beaten today by one of the best three teams in the division at the moment. Millwall, no change following that defeat up there at Leeds today. We sit in 16th on 43 points after our recent good form. Joining me to chew over the cud after today's loss is a Dockers debate aficionado. It's Michael Avery from all the way from Erith. How are you doing, Michael?
Good afternoon, Dylan. Good afternoon, Nick. How are we? Hope all is well.
Yeah, just to recommend Erith Town if you're ever in Thames Mead on a Saturday afternoon during the season and looking for a game of football and a beer. I was there yesterday, dear listeners. I really enjoyed my trip down there. So just give a shout out to the Erith Town setup. Also joining us.
I think you enjoyed it a bit more than you would like to admit, Nick, because you've got a signed shirt as well.
I've got a signed shirt. I don't know what to do with that.
Frame it, have it up behind you. There's a big bit of wall. We're peeking behind the actor's curtain here. There's a big bit of blank wall.
There is a blank wall. There is a blank wall.
Yeah. Nick needs something on there.
We're forever weighing up whether to move out of this back room into the other room, make that our office. Anyway, that's neither here nor there from your point of view, dear listener. And as you would have heard there, the dulcet tones of the man from Essex, it's Mr. Harry Warren. How you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. As everyone. Bit weird on a Sunday, this, isn't it? Maybe this is one of the reasons we should never be promoted.
Yeah, I mean, it is an odd feeling on a Sunday. Today's Category A fixture, as Sky Television described it, was moved from Saturday to Sunday, 3 o'clock kickoff. So the weirdness continues. Gentlemen, 2-0 loss today. Just to give a quick description, my description, dear listeners, of the game, I thought that the starting 11, we've got Sarkic, Brian Cooper, Tanganga, Leonard on the back line, Savile Mitchell, the defensive two, then the midfield three, Brooke Norton Cuffey coming into the side today for Watmore, who went on the bench, Zian Fleming, George Honeyman up front, the lone striker, who did 90 minutes, incidentally, today, chaps, Michael Obafemi. Michael, we were just saying before we started recording, the first half was a bit of a, in some ways, a wasteland. There was one fairly weak shot from Zian Fleming on 15 minutes. And then obviously the decisive moment, as I think of it, in the game really, which was a moment of quality, the goal for Leeds on 32 minutes, a shot from Yezid Adi, which I don't think Sarkic could have done much with. But apart from that, there were no moments from a Millwall perspective, and there weren't many chances for Leeds during the course of the first half. So there's both good and bad, if you want, because we didn't create much, but they didn't get much apart from a real moment of quality that separated us at half time.
No, I agree. And in truth, and without being pessimistic or anything like that, I think we done better than I thought we were going to.
I agree.
I've got a Leeds co-worker in my company who's based up north, and obviously every time he comes down, we have the banter between Millwall and Leeds, etc. And he did say to me, and I was truthful, I said, without knocking Neil Harris, because I've been listening to recent shows, I said, I think if we play against you like we did against Watford, like we played against Birmingham, I think it could potentially be a bit cricket score if you turn it on, because we play too defensive for me, even at 0-0 and 1-0 up at home. So if we play like that when we're at home, God knows what it's going to be like then when we're playing somewhere like Elland Road against a team who are going for the top spot. And that's not a criticism of how we're playing, but that's just an honest comment. And like I say, I think we've done better than I thought we were going to, but I don't think we ever really threatened Leeds United. And yes, you say in the first half they didn't have many chances. They didn't. It was a top moment of sheer quality to that goal. I'm not going to say it's not. But if you look at the game overall, you know, they had two goals where we were just, especially the second one, we was absolutely defending, panicking for our life. No sense of control, just throwing everything we can at it. They hit the post twice in succession in one attack, and they hit the post again. So you're looking at their hitting work and hitting us, what, 5-6 times. And we barely laid a glove on them. Again, I'm not saying it's because of Neil Harris specifically. I know things like injuries and stuff like that do force his hand a little bit. The Bradshaws, the Nisbets, and obviously whether Obafemi is 100% fit is another question mark. But I just think Leeds were just too dominant for us, and we just did the best we can to live with them.
I kind of know what you can. I mean, I want to backtrack a little bit because we weren't out of the game. And I think, you know, the hand of cards that Neil Harris has been dealt, boys, it's not an easy one. He's taken on the struggling side, a side that's been through a fairly traumatic season with both the loss of, or the change, shall I put a better word, change of management from Rowett to Joe Edwards, and then the change of tactics and expectations. Neil Harris has come back with a real back to basics, and I kind of hate that phrase, but anyway, let's go with it because I don't know, can't think of a better one. And yeah, at the halfway point in the first half, we were very much in the game. We were keeping them quiet. We had our luck. You know, there was I put one moment down, WWE wrestling between Jake and the goal scorer, Nonto. I don't know if that's how you say his name.
Notto.
It was quite funny because, and there was moments of high drama where, you know, there were handballs and committed challenges. It looked and felt for me like a Millwall versus Leeds or Leeds versus Millwall game should, because it was committed. The tackles were going in. There was a lot of yellow cards. I thought Jake would be lucky to survive the game at half time. I think he had a touch of luck from the referee there in a sense. It was a real moment of quality that separated us. But we were in the game, and as the half closed, it was that one moment of Premier League style finishing from the edge of the D that separated us. And to be in the game with all of the caveats that we've said, the injury crisis, the changes and all the rest of it, it was the same approach as we've had in recent games, but it was still keeping us in the match. The moment came, probably this is where you join the conversation perhaps, Harry, is when the substitutions, a four-way substitution in the second half, listeners, I don't know that I've seen that very often other than in friendly matches. Four subs came in on the 61 minutes and we started to look a bit more brighter going forwards. I mean, Harry, you're out this afternoon, so you only saw the last phase of the game, really. But I think if you ever joined the game there, you've probably got a view that we weren't looking too bad going forwards. We were looking a bit more hungry with the ball, moving it forwards.
Yeah, I think, you know, taking everything that Michael said and yourself have said, realistically, that's all we can do, isn't it? I think, and sometimes, you know, we've gone into Leeds games before and you fancy the cynicism. We're not on the same plane anymore. Their year in the Premier League or 2 years in the Premier League has given them resources that we can only dream of. Mm. This isn't a small war.
Which is on top of what they already had because of the size of the club in the first place.
Exactly, right? So we're in the game. That's all we can ask for. We're not good. We know we're not good at the moment. We've not been good all season. So I didn't, you know, I thought the game plan would have been pretty much as I expected, which was for us to, as much as possible, try to stay in the game as long as possible and try and get bits and pieces. And to be honest, it kind of worked without us creating too much clear cut. We've given up. The second goal's a bit, you know, a bit fucking Keystone Cops, but, you know, realistically, Did you expect anything else out of this fixture? I think it was a free hit. The results yesterday helped us a little bit, and I thought we were slightly better, as Nick said, once we made the changes. But that is where we are. That's everyone that we've got available, I think, realistically. That bench is everyone, really. What you got, Murray Wallace, Hutch, Longman, Mayer, and then SA.
But we'll come back to the
young kids.
We'll come back to the creatives after this, because I think there's a conversation in that too. But anyway, this I think for me the game opened up once the four substitutions came in. We abandoned the very, very tight approach with good reason, because the yellow cards were starting to litter the side there, Mike. I mean, I want to take, Jake Cooper gets a lot of mickey taking sometimes online, because I thought he actually did well to stay on the pitch, because at half time I thought he can't. I was actually saying to, not my wife's terribly interested in what Mill will do, listeners, but I was saying,
she is, because it relates to your happiness, I'm sure.
I was saying, should we sub him for Hutch at half time? I know that's not. Well, but
she's your Dave Livermore.
Yeah, that's right. She's my advisor on these matters, and she said we should. And I must admit, I don't think I was the only one when I looked through Twitter, Michael, because he rode his luck there somewhat. I thought Jake to stay on the pitch.
I think the thing with Jake Cooper is that I don't know what the issue is with him. I don't know him. The very few times I have spoken to Jake Cooper over the years, I think there was an end of season did in a years ago where, you get players on your table. He was on one of our players. Stellar bloke. Mm. Cannot say enough how nice a bloke he is from the very, very limited conversations I've had with him. But it just seems to me over the last few months, he's just not been anywhere near the races that he should be to be at this level, And when he signed that contract a little while ago and everything was on Twitter and he puts that big statement out and Hearts of Lions and playing at the Den and yada, 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 all that came with it. Have we seen that? And like today, let's be honest, he was a bit of a liability, That one there right in front of the linesman. Some will go, I should have been sent off. There's a bit of me that thinks, if you watch it again, they're just having a little bit of handbags, trying to get off each other more than anything else. It's not overly aggressive, so it's a couple of yellow cards. But then that Patrick Bamford one, let's be honest, how on earth he's got away with that, I'll never know. I will never know, because if there is a legitimate attempt to play the ball by Jake Cooper there, he has got it horrifically wrong. And that is one of those, what the commentator said at half-time, that, I think it might have been Paul Robinson, the goalkeeper, in the studio. But, that's VAR looks at that. That's an absolute...
If VAR existed, I noted that.
That's fair enough. I can't comment on that. But if we get into the realms of if my auntie had bollocks, she'd be my uncle.
Not nowadays.
Jake... No, she still would be your uncle. I don't know. That's up to them to decide, isn't it?
They define themselves, apparently, listeners. Yeah, absolutely. Let's not go into that world, though.
No, maybe we should cut
back to the penalty.
Back to the penalty. No, what I was trying to get onto was the fact that, I agree, but Jake gets enough shit like that from every corner, as we all know. So, it swings and roundabouts. The reason that Tanganga gets free for the goal against Birmingham is the fact that there's three players around Jake Cooper, putting Jake Cooper like he's some form of rugby player. So, we all know it happens. Yeah, he's probably lucky today. On other days, he's unlucky that he doesn't get two penalties in a game. It swings around about. It's football. Football is not perfect, I suppose.
I agree.
What I'm trying to say.
The game opened up, Michael, after the subs. I mean, the real... leaving aside the strong defending, the firm challenges that we've mentioned from our central defence. I mean, really, the chances for both sides flowed from once the subs came on. We opened up, tried to get the ball forwards. That gave Leeds a chance to start to play their game a little bit. There was that moment. It was a very strange move. It was a cross in from the left, and Sarkic actually saved, and then somehow knocked it against his own post. And how we dodged that, I don't know. At that moment, I thought Lady Luck was smiling on us, Michael, and we were gonna get something out of the game, because you could not invent such a moment, could you?
No, and the thing was as well, I think again, this might sound really detrimental to Neil Harris, but I think that was the only way we was going to get anything with luck, because I just think Leeds just pegged us back really well. But I agree with substitutions. You know, we said before we recorded that the commentators were saying about a lack of depth in Millwall and resources. And I get it. I understand what they're saying. But I don't know if I'm one of the only ones who questions why Donore is put on the bench, because I listened to a caller a little while ago, Nick, who left a voicemail on one of your shows. Mm. And he said like, Donore's time might not be now. Let's get us out of the relegation battle. Let's get us out of trouble. And then next season, he comes back in. Again, this is where some Mill fans have got short-term memories, because I believe from up until summer, up until the Christmas time, everyone's saying about how he gets stuck in and it's brilliant that Donore puts a shift in and he sprays a ball around and he does this. And now all of a sudden, now they're dropping for Billy Mitchell and George Saville because he's not industrial enough. He might not be industrial enough, but there's no coincidence. And again, do not take this as a Neil Harris bashing Harry / listeners. There seems to be a lack of quality in that midfield area when Donore is not on the field, which is what Neil Harris wants, and I'm not arguing it, because it's getting results. He's got 10 points from 15 games. But when we bring him on, there is a noticeable difference in the quality in the midfield. Now, this is where we need to ask the question, how desperate are we to start, because we know how desperate we are to start, but is there no way we can put Donore in a Neil Harris team?
No. That, well, you can't turn around and say there's a way. There might be, but it weren't today, and it's probably not in the last four games. Maybe it is a bit now, because we've got 4 points.
Yeah, but you say that though, Harry. You say that though, and I get it. But like Nick was saying there, there's a noticeable difference in the quality when he does come on.
Yeah, there is. I personally,
if I was in Neil Harris's position, through the industrialness of him as a player as well, I would put Donore in front of Billy Mitchell.
I understand where you're coming from. I'd also question whether or not Donore's fully fit. I'd question whether or not all this other shit that we don't know.
It could be that.
Otherwise, it would make no sense, would it?
Yeah.
It would make no sense. So from my point of view is, yeah, I don't really mind that, the midfield three that play. I mean, for me, still, I can't work it out, is that Ryan Leonard... I go back to Ryan Leonard. Ryan Leonard, for some unknown reason, has ended up being our best right back, which can't happen, by the way, when we've got...
Harry, you can argue he's been our best player this season.
Right, absolutely, right? The amount of people that hate Ryan Leonard for no real reason...
Do they? Who are these people, Rach?
Last season, people wanted Ryan Leonard gone. Oh, he's injured all the time. He can't be in the Bennett kind of fuck him off way. But... the difference is when Ryan Leonard is fit, he's always our best player, because he can get up and down the pitch like no other Millwall player can. And the point is I think it links into what Michael's saying. I'm not picking on you. I'm going off the voicemails and everything who listen to this show. That there is a kind of disconnect between a Millwall realism and ambition. And apparently, if you're in the realism camp, you're small, you're bollocks. And if you're in the ambition camp, you're away with a fairy's dreamer like Joe Edwards. There needs to be a little bit of both. Perhaps that's a conversation to have in the summer, but where we sit at the moment is, I think we're in a Millwall kind of backs to the wall, anything we'll do, let's try and get points kind of
thing. Oh, absolutely, kind of thing. Absolutely. I agree with that.
But there seems to be this, like, we can't, by us doing this for the next 8 games, we can't possibly change over the summer. Of course we can. We could sign. We don't know what Millwall side's going to be here next summer. We don't know what a transfer window will do, because there's lots of people out of contract. There's probably times to move people on. This group has pretty much been the same. Like, let's get it right. Most of the team is exactly the same as the team that Neil Harris left 5 years ago. We haven't really gone anywhere. You know, the back four. What, arguably, if you could play them all, the only one that's changed is Joe Bryan, because in theory you could play Danny Mac, Hutch and Cooper. Like, realistically, with the players available, the midfield ain't changed much. The front line has. That's about it. So there does need to be a change, regardless of who's in charge, regardless what you want us to do, because everything in life stagnates after time. You don't get as much as what you did originally. And that's probably a wider conversation for the summer. But for now, yeah, I get why he's doing it. I'd like to see Donore in there, maybe. But then I get also... can he get about as well as Honeyman in that front three? Like, someone that just runs up and down, really, doesn't he? As a workhorse, kind of as a free role.
I think the tactics at the moment are ultra realistic, Harry. I mean, even today, even at 1-0 down, Neil's tactics were to largely squelch the game, preserve us from the talent that Leeds clearly had, keep us in the game, and then maybe we can create a chance. And in fairness, once the subs came in, we created more chances. We started to see a little bit of the quality of Michael Obafemi. I think he's a very, very good striker, and he's got clearly got great close control, and our best chances came from him trying to squirm away through, you know, a pretty solid Leeds defence when our chances came.
I'd like us to try and sign him, to be honest, would you?
He seems to like it. Whether we can afford him, I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You know, I mean, Michael Obafemi and Jeff Tanganga, Harry, because our two best players are both on loan.
I don't think we're going to get Tanganga.
No,
this
I don't.
This is getting very familiar now, with our best players being loaning.
Yeah, like the thing with Obafemi is that that's the kind of striker we've been calling out for seasons. The only problem is now we've got no one to deliver the ball to him. We can't get down the wings to play in so he can close control, turn, swivel, shoot. We haven't got those players anymore. We don't really have wingers. And I understand this idea that Essay's a winger. Essay's never a winger. He wants to be where Fleming is, really. Wants
I mean, we haven't seen a Mayor yet. I mean, I'm going to guess he is a winger, as I would understand the term. But we're going to need, as you've said, Harry, we're going to need to revamp the whole approach, really, because we need to decide on a style of play and start to pick players to fit that. And that hasn't really happened. And we're still really dealing with Gary Rowett's squad, at the start of the season, via a brief flirtation with the idea that we can play Pep Guardiola's football. And then we've gone back to the old school now. So, you know, it's about survival at the moment. And today was, I don't like the term a free hit, because I think we were trying to go there to get a point out today, possibly a winner if we could. The second goal killed it, Michael. Moved down the left, and the ball kind of found itself to the striker who took his time to place the ball. It was quite a nice finish again. So, in their different ways, two quality finishes were always going to be the difference between our sides today, I thought.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Yeah, I think the real, for me, the real difference between the sides, if you want to look at it as black and white as this, is that every single time Leeds got the ball and moved it, they looked dangerous. Every single time. Whereas Millwall, every time we got the ball, it seemed a little bit more desperation for me. Not saying that we were playing bad or anything like that. I actually thought, again, like I say, I thought there were times when, you know, we looked okay and we gave it back to them a little bit. But I just thought Leeds were just that bit more convincing. And there was only one team who really went out from the first whistle to really, really be with a focus of winning the game. Yeah, that could be league position or where we currently are at the moment. But it for me, it just seemed like a Leeds. It was a convincing Leeds win, let's be brutally honest.
Yeah. I the only thing I'd say to that is that, realistically, that's maybe the best, even though it doesn't look like it on the case of it, that probably wasn't a bad Millwall performance.
I think it was the best possible performance we could give.
Yeah. That's my point. My issue is at the moment, and I said this to Nick before we hit recording, before you came on. I think it was halfway through where you came on, Harry. My issue we've got at the moment is I know at the moment we're kick, biting and clawing our way to survival, which is fine, which is absolutely fine. You know, like after the what was Harris's first game in charge? Not Sheffield Wednesday one, not Southampton. The first home game, Watford.
Oh, Watford.
So, so we won, and it wasn't overly convincing. Well, not convincing, but we got the points. Yeah. It weren't good. And a few people in block three were like, look, if this keeps us up, it keeps us up. You know, there's no moaning, there's no Harris, this is shit, Harris out and all this. It's what keeps us up and we will go with it. My issue we have at the moment is you've got all the teams around you are winning as well or picking up similar points when we do. I think it was last weekend when we beat Birmingham, everyone else won. Or, there isn't much movement. There isn't much movement between the points. But my issue is at the moment is that when we play against sides who are good, like Southampton was a little bit of a smash and grab, but when we play against the Leeds and all these kind of teams, we are clearly, clearly a long way behind. Yeah. Now, and the Neil Harris way of playing football is working against the teams at the bottom, but where the teams at the bottom are going on these little runs and doing quite well, if we come up a side who's half decent or mid-table, etc., will we get exposed? And will we then get dragged more into it, if you get what I mean?
Yeah, I get that. I don't think we will. I think the main reason that we won't is that we've got Plymouth, we've got Rotherham, we've got West Brom.
Yeah.
We've got Huddersfield.
We should be okay.
You've got to look at it as that in five games, take the opposition out of it, in five games to get 10 points in the Championship is quite good anyway. I know other teams are doing their own job. You've got to take the fact that our goal difference is better than the two teams who are the top two of the relegation zone. I think Sheffield Wednesday's goal difference is something like minus 36. Ours is minus 14. I think Huddersfield is minus 19. Yeah. So that's another point.
Birmingham right? minus 17.
So we'll go by. There's teams between us, obviously, but we'll talk about those two. Then you've got to look at even when we've been beaten by Leeds, who are, as we sit tonight, the top team in the table, we've only been beaten 2-0. Right? That could have. Now, let's roll that back a month. We'd have been beaten 8-0 maybe yesterday, maybe earlier on, or maybe 6-0 or something like that under the previous manager. Yeah. We have to kind of look at this as every game as individual benefits. What do we need to do?
That's kind of what my point is. What my point would be is that if you're absolutely fighting for your lives and then the fixture gives you a West Brom,
yep.
If we are absolutely desperate for 3 points, can you see us getting those 3 points? You know,
I get what you're saying. However, my question to you will be: with the side that we have available, how do you get to play on the front foot?
Because
my problem with this team, which has always been my problem with this team, we've had three managers in one season. We've got no fucking wingers. We have to go through the middle. Now we've got no strikers because they're all injured. Our best chances are set pieces because we haven't got anyone else. We've got no one that is able to carry the ball because the recruitment has been fucking dreadful.
That's a repeat point that's been made, isn't it, Harry? Through the season.
That's a glaring fact that the recruitment hasn't been good. Now, we are where we are and we can only play with what we've got. So any fucking facet of believing that we're better than what we are a bottom half of the bottom half Championship side at the moment. We've got Plymouth, at home. I think we've got Swansea as well. We've got
Swansea's
away,
isn't it? On the last game, I said Plymouth is at home, Huddersfield's away, Rotherham's away.
There's three games in there. I probably think Mill will get 4 if not 6 points out of that. Right, that's me. Rotherham might be down by the time you play them because mathematically they're fucking near enough there.
So,
you know, I think if we were level 1 points out there on goal difference and we'd been getting draws at home in that little pack, maybe we'd have got 5 points or something like that out of five games and we were unbeaten still. That's bollocks because it's better to win, obviously, like we have done. It's better to win three games and draw and get more points. So it's needs must. I get your point, Michael. I totally do. I think that, again, but then that links back to Nick's points earlier in previous shows of, do you think a nil? I've got to ask this as a question, probably, because I know what my answer is. Do you think a Neil Harris side needing one result on a particular day doesn't go in there charged up as best as it can be, as motivated as possibly can?
Oh, no, absolutely.
So I think in that one-off position, I think, yeah, probably we do have enough because of just pure presence, persona, and that kind of thing.
I mean, what I would say to the listeners out there, for me, my own point of view, is that for a long while now, until Neil's return a few weeks ago now, it's not been that long, it just seems longer because of the pace that football moves at. But for a long while, Millwall weren't playing like a Millwall side. We weren't showing commitment, we weren't showing bottle, we weren't showing arsehole. Let's leave aside quality, forget that. We were going off the boil, we weren't maximising the home form, the den, the great weapon that we've got. Neil Harris comes back, he's refound. I mean, today, I know we got beat, so, you know, you can laugh at this comment, but it looked and felt like a Millwall team going to a place like Elland Road and not being overawed and being prepared to tackle hard. Some of the challenges might have walked the line, but that's what I would want from a Millwall team in that situation. It just so happens that Leeds were too good for us with too many expensive players. But we did approach it in the way that I would expect a Millwall team to go out there and match Leeds. And that's a really, really valuable thing, chaps, because that's not been around for a long while, has it? I mean, under Gary Rowett, that went walkabout. I mean, how many times have we had this conversation in these shows? So to refine the spirit, I mean, Michael, you asked about West Bromwich Albion. Yeah, I can see us getting something out of it for that reason, because the Den becomes, it's another big game. It's a home game this time.
One o'clock kickoff,
but it's going to be the same order of approach. I can't see the team. Maybe Brooke Norton Cuffey, maybe Watmore, I don't know. In the team, but otherwise it's probably going to be the same 11, and we're going to bring the same kind of approach to it, because that's kind of all we've got at the moment, and survival is what it's all about. So I can see us getting something out of that game.
Yeah,
whether we will do or not, I don't know, because they're a decent side.
I just want to put on record, I don't hate New Harris, and I'm not disputing the fact we're doing well. It's just like I've said, let's be honest, the football ain't great to watch, and it's at times it's a little desperation, whereas I don't think at times it needs to be.
It's desperation, and the Casper Denore question comes back there, because a lot of the time we are, even today is a good example, we're under pressure and we're releasing the ball forward, no one there, and we're not retaining possession just to give the defence 5 minutes or 5 seconds of a break sometimes. Now, that's something that maybe Neil will want to think. I can't see him changing this side, Harry. I just can't. I think that it's a team that's got him to where safety is within grasp with a couple of wins over some sides that we should be able to beat with right attitude. I don't see Neil Harris changing this side. The Casper Denore thing I do get, because I think when we retain possession a little bit, we actually don't look like a bad side on occasion. We actually had a few moments today towards late in the game where we got the ball forward. Now, you know, we weren't looking too bad, but I think Neil's a grinder rather than a pretty football man in this current circumstance.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think let's admit that it's Leeds. It's kind of like, if they're not Leeds and they're Leicester and we've gone and been beaten 2-0 by Leicester, probably doesn't stick in the throat as much. It's just because it's Leeds, and when they were League One and we were League One, we kind of were on a par. They still had more expensive players, but they sort of had this faded
glamour.
Premier League glamour. Yeah, they're gone. And they've got back there. They had their time, and they had the Elsa and the bucket and all that.
It was all very romantic, wasn't it, Millwall?
Yeah, absolutely right, yeah. Mm. But if you cast your mind back to September, and when we were beaten 3-0 at home by Leeds, did you feel more hopeless or less hopeless then? Because I think I felt more hopeless then.
Well, we weren't ourselves.
That was in the last days of the Raj, shall we call it.
We weren't ourselves that day. We didn't bring a Millwall team or a Millwall approach, because you can always get beat by Leeds because they're the big side. But we didn't bring the essentials, and that's what we saw today. And, you know, that's what I do take my hat off to Neil Harris for returning, because quality I will put to one side. I cannot abide going to watch Millwall or seeing a Millwall team where we look like we are not giving a shit, and that's what we saw too many times in the past. So, you know, I can't knock the man.
One thing I will say about Neil Harris as well, though, is that when they interviewed him pre-game, he seems to have a right buzz about, like, he seems quite fired up about it, to be fair. And that could be, you know, he's back at the club and he's back at Leeds and he likes to stick his two fingers up at Leeds because of all his personal history with them when he played against them as well. But there's a bit of me, well, I actually thought that was quite refreshing because Rao, it was always like, oh, we'll take it one game at a time. Mm. You know, Joe Edwards was kind of, we're going to do our pragmatic way of playing football. And anywhere it's just like, it's Millwall Leeds, love it, going to have it. And you think, well, that's actually quite nice to see. You know.
I think the thing with it, like, it's obvious that he gives a shit, right? And maybe the biggest criticism, and you know, and I could be called a hypocrite, and I have been in the past.
Not you,
but
Harry.
When you compare, when you compare Rowitt's kind of style of football, the thing that used to piss me off more than anything was that it was shit football at times, but it also was passionless. It was like being in a marriage with a woman that you long since fancied, and you're just there for
the love has gone.
Right, now they're gone, and then every time that she takes a breath, you go, your breath, which is rancid, it's fucking loud.
What a romantic,
right?
You know, picture we're painting here, listeners. Yeah, yeah.
Right, exactly, right? But that's what it got like. And the difference is with Neil Harrison.
So Harry Warren's Tinder bio, if anyone's interested, is
no Harry Warren is not on Tinder. We have this all the ladies. I'm very
well, since last time anyway.
yeah since last time. Yeah. We digress. My main point is that with Neil is that, you know, this idea of Millwallness, which, yeah, I don't like as a word, but Millwall and having a pair of bollocks and an arsehole about you and willing to stand up for the things you believe in and the club and all that other shit, he has in abundance. You know, it's an untapped thing. And not everyone who could come in pounding their chest necessarily you believe with it, because I'm sure Holloway's probably the classic example.
And it intrigues me, chaps, just to move the conversation on, because, I mean, that's that point that you just made there, Harry, intrigues me, because clearly, you know, I mean, the likes of Gary Rowett, I'd imagine Joe Edwards, they clearly know football, they know how the game should be played, what they want to see. But it's the motivation side that's key to football, in my opinion. And for some mystical reason, Neil Harris at Millwall, and I don't know, I haven't really followed his form at other clubs, Cambridge and Gillingham, but he seems to do a good job where he goes. The motivational side of it is key, and that ability it fascinates me, because some people, you just don't believe. Ian Holloway being a classic example. I can remember meeting Nigel Spackman. I thought, I don't believe you. I would not follow you into it.
I don't believe you. That's a very... Very sort of, but that's what it is. I don't believe you.
It's would you follow this man into the trench? And you know, some people you would.
Yeah, with a gun.
Some people you just don't buy. And you know, what lies behind that, I don't know. But it's the essence of football, Michael. You know, that's what separates good managers from bad.
Yeah, and this goes back to what we've said before, Nick. Like, you know, after some games in the stand, you know, when I'll pop over and have a chat. Mm. There's an element where with football, I think football's one of the very few professions where you get away with not turning up for your manager, if you get what I mean, in the sense that we said it before, Nick, and anyone who's listening now, we've all worked for absolute tossers in the past in previous jobs.
Yeah.
But you might not like your manager, but you're like, well, I've still got to do this. I can't Dan tools because I'll lose my job.
Yeah.
You know, and like you say there, Nick, you know, like under Joe Edwards, we could argue whether or not they Dan tools, but there's some players there who clearly are playing better now Neil Harris is back in charge. So, yeah, you can argue the motivation side of it. He has got it spot on with certain players, but I still argue the professionalism of football as a game, whereas in the sense that you can still get at the top end of the table 200 grand a week and not really play to your ability because you don't like someone.
Yeah, but that's football over, isn't it?
Yeah.
Football's 90% man management and 10% tactics.
Mentality,
it's damn new capitalism.
And you can look at that with, like, if you listen to ex-pros talk on podcasts, there's a million and fucking one of them. Might suggest Under the Cosh was quite a good one. There's been guys who have played for loads of managers, and they talk about, like, Brendan Rodgers, who's won fucking loads of trophies. They call him Chocolate, and he's an arsehole. And you'd go to have a conversation about your kid being in hospital, and he'd be standing there looking at his Gucci belt, and he'd go, "That's Gucci, that is." And you're like, "Brendan, I'm trying to fucking like tell you that I can't something be important at training tomorrow."
Okay. Because,
yeah. Yeah, and you can imagine these sort of David Brent type, and football attracts chances at all levels. You've all played amateur football. I'm sure most people on this listen to this or whatever or been around any type of football, whether it be men's, women's, whatever, kids, whatever. People all have their idea of how football should be played. All have their idea of what tactics there are. That's why one of the biggest selling fucking PC games in the world is Football Manager, right? You know, there's a million and one ways to win football matches, but it doesn't matter what business you're in. That man management, that motivation where you do that extra bit without being asked at work, whatever you do, is, as you said, it's how we choose political leaders as countries is based around that charisma and that
character, absolutely.
It's a wider podcast. That's suddenly got very deep for a Millwall podcast.
We do like to take it down a deep route occasionally, boys. You know, it's not all just kind of stats.
It's only
I've got a few tweets that I've liked. I've just screenshotted them here for you, listeners. Simon Hedgepig wasn't expecting a win today. The boys battled well in the second half. And Simon says it's time to breathe now with the international break. Next weekend's international break. Non-league day, I think, Michael, actually, next weekend.
Good plug. We'll have a chat now.
If we can get anything from West Brom, it'll be a bonus. And then on to the bigger games, says Simon, which is the ones we've mentioned, Rotherham and Huddersfield. I think that's the Easter weekend. I think we're away Rotherham on Easter Monday, and Huddersfield is the week after on April the 6th.
What a glamorous tie for anyone.
Rotherham.
If you want to take the families to somewhere on over the Easter weekend, you can get West Brom at home.
Tell them you're going to New York.
Funnily enough.
Forget the stadium.
Funnily enough, I've been... it's quite interesting because I follow one or two of these kind of... pseudo intellectual football sites, listeners, like where they kind of elevate the old terraced stadiums to be almost objects like something from ancient Greece where you're going to see the Temple of Zeus or
like
something.
Relics.
Yeah. And Rotherham's ground, Millmore, is actually not very far from their New York stadium, which is quite a flash Sports Direct kind of looking stadium. But their old ground, which I've been to, actually, I've been to Millmore, is just around a corner. And it's now being regularly photographed as a bit like... Howard Carter going into the tomb of Tutankhamun or something. It's like this kind of relic from the past with terraces and broken windows and graffiti on the
So what happened to it? Did they just not use it afterwards?
I think there's such a lack of demand for land in Rotherham that there's no point in knocking it down because that costs money, doesn't it? I think they still use it for reserve team football, I think.
Whenever we talk about Millwall Rotherham, it always reminds me of that time when we used to do Love Sport with Aaron. And they'd always do that thing on a Friday where they get someone from the opposition in, and then you could chat about the game and all this.
I used to hate that bit. I couldn't even think of anything to talk to them about.
The Pafargal pilgrim support.
Yeah, and we'd be sitting there the other side, and I'd be mouthing off this side of the desk, listener. Let me say, going, what an absolute cunt! I'm like mouthing at the other two while they're talking because back then we were doing quite well. We were like on that run, weren't we?
Yeah, I got no job.
I just remember that time that they got the Rotherham Supporters Club in, and Aaron went like, "This is the Rotherham Supporters Club. Nick, you got something to say?" And you're just like,
"What do you want to say to them?"
I don't know anything about Rotherham.
I'm just glad I wasn't. I remember I went up there a few years ago when Marlon Romeo first broke into the side.
Yeah.
And we were on the, because you have to go to Sheffield, listeners, to get to Rotherham. Go to Sheffield, and then you pick up what is a one carriage train that takes you into Rotherham. And it reminded me of,
own carriage.
Kids now don't watch Westerns, but they used to have these scenes in every Western where you had like a push up and pull down
you
can't see what I'm doing, but I'm pushing up and pulling down, listeners.
It was a hand cranked car.
And it reminded me of All the World for That. And we were going through this industrial wasteland into Rotherham, and there was Jazzy B was on the train, and everyone was singing Back to Life and Back to Reality to him, because back then Marlon Romeo was in and was a new hot prospect. I don't know how I've got onto that subject.
Whatever happened to Marlon Romeo?
just because I saw the word Rotherham, we've got on to the hand cranked single carriageway. Dan Wall Boy says, not a terrible performance. We've ridden our last couple of games. I think you're right there, Dan, a little bit.
Yeah.
And we've basically got beaten by a Premier League side. I don't know if they're a terribly good Premier League side, Harry Leeds. They looked all right against, you know, moments against us, but we quelled them for a large slice of the game. But I don't know if they're that good. You know,
I think the top I do think the top three are that good, though.
Yeah.
I just think they're all having a little bit of a wobble.
My thing is, Harry, what I keep saying repeatedly over and over again, my issue, if I was in the football world as a businessman in the Championship, at least, my concern, and especially now where the Premier League keep refusing this funding, my big concern is the fact that the three who are bottom of the table of the Premier League are the three that went up, and fourth from bottom were Forest, who went up the year before, and three of the top four are the three that went down. And it always seems to be that. And that would be my concern. And I know what you're saying there, Nick. And do you know what? There's a bit of me that was thinking before, do you know what? If Leeds do go back up, they'll probably stay up. But now you've said that and I've had a little think about it again, you're thinking, well, Burnley absolutely pissed the league last year.
Yeah.
And they're struggling.
Sheffield United
sold their three best players.
They had that bad window in the summer. But again, there's just too big a divide.
Can I point out though, if we had gone up last season, and it was a big if, but if we had gone up last season, I genuinely wouldn't have given a fuck being Sheffield United this season. I would not have cared. Because I know that money would save this club for the next 12 years without anyone having to put a fucking pound note in the club's pocket, and it'd have been fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the time when people go, oh, it doesn't matter if we get relegated. When we're in the Premier League, we can have that conversation, not when we're going to get relegated to League One. That's a totally different... That is when you fall into a Wrexham, or you fall into Notts County, or you fall into all these other Bury... You fall into these clubs that end up fucking financially ruined. Old clubs with history.
I love this post here, Harry, by a fellow Spiritual Gaza. I don't know what that is all about, Spiritual Gaza. Anyway, he says, only Leeds can sing about Sky TV being shit when all that Sky TV does is bum the living hell out of them.
Yes.
Back to Tinder.
It's an odd relationship. It's like a parasitical relationship. You know, like one of these ones on a nature program with like
under the wow, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like a symbiotic relationship of mutual shit. But it is Sky Sports Leeds. And realistically, you know, the things that I hope to see in life is one day the Championship be hosted by somebody else that can put it up against and treat the League One and League Two and the Championship as respectable entities of football that they are. I know that unfortunately the world doesn't move like that, and it's the Americans don't want to wake up at 3 a.m. to watch fucking...
Do you know who really made me like you talk about the divide in Championship and League One and the money and all that, but one that really hit home with me about the divide and all that kind of stuff was Chicago Joe.
Yeah.
Nick, yeah. He said when he was under Joe Edwards, I remember I might be paraphrasing slightly, but he was basically sort of saying, if we go down, would I be able to watch this? Because I don't think the US will have League One.
It's a global game now. I'm talking
about finding a stream. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So yeah, it does make you think, doesn't it?
There we are.
I can't wait for that. I can't wait for the EFL style of Netflix when they were Carl and Max will have their own little photo fits in the back bottom corner as you're listening to them commentate, screaming their heads off for a last minute.
And it's live. I'm going to close. Both you boys are involved in different ways with women's football. And I don't know if you saw this scoreline from the League Cup. I don't know which league this is. It's Yeovil Town's women's side playing a team called Porlock FC. I can only imagine that's a West Country women's side.
Yeah, that'd be a regional
league. Regional league cup of some sort. But what a scoreline there, which is Yeovil Town women's 29, Porlock 0.
Close
game. And one person has replied that 24th goal was way offside. Like that. 29-0. Wow.
That's very
fair play to Yeovil. Praise the opposition for keeping on playing. So that must be a tough gig.
They praise the opposition.
One goal every 3 minutes.
I'm going to be honest. After the 15th goal, would you have done a Warnock in that game that Warnock allegedly told his players to go and get sent off, so they had 7, so they only lost 3-0?
After the 15th goal, I knew it would be a bit of an uphill.
You want to? Yeah. Some sports have what they call a mercy rule when you get past 15, perhaps. they call it quits and say that's it. The towel gets thrown in. You know, the clerk, the
golf. Maybe they should. Maybe Yeovil should have been sporting and taking their keeper off.
Big shout out to
those up front. They scored 10 of them.
Yeah. The keeper got hat-trick second half.
Double hat-tricks. Anyway, big shout out to the Yeovil Town women's team for that
29 non-league day.
Non-league day. Do get yourself down, listeners. If you're in the SE28 area, Thamesmead, I went over to meet Michael yesterday over at Erith Town. I haven't been to their new ground, or the sporting club Thamesmead ground, before. I've been to the leisure centre in Erith when they played. It was a really nice little ground. Nice bar set up there, Michael. Nice friendly club. And I recommend it. You know, I recommend non-league football to anyone when Mill's not around. Give it a go. That was a nice little turnout yesterday. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, so we had give or take about 200 there yesterday. I think I got a bit away with myself when we was doing the live stream. But, you know, next weekend is... Yeah. Well,
there's
you
a
know
future
what,
for even... you in football executives. Doubling fixture
fees. Yeah, we included the players. I'm just saying that like non-league day is next weekend.
Reduced entry, I saw as well, for a fiver.
Yes. So basically, if you come down to the stadium, Stanmore Stadium, for marketing reasons and sponsorship, but down in Bayliss Avenue, SC28, and you show any membership card of the Mill Supporters Club, or your season ticket, or your membership card for the club of any club, not just Millwall. So if anyone's listening in and not a Millwall fan, you get reduced entry for fiver. That's obviously the club's way of getting some people in. But ultimately, for those of you, you're all probably aware, but just in case, non-league days away of every season, just to promote non-league football during the international break, because it's obviously the grassroots where historically a lot of all the young kids, anyone who's got kids who play football, that's where they all start off. We don't all go straight into academies. And Nick, I believe, even a couple of years ago, we went to a non-league game here from Belvedere at Parkview Road.
Nice bar there too.
Yeah, you do get a good few in. It's a good day out. And ultimately, the whole point of that day, really, for teams like Millwall and Premier League teams, is to promote the non-league and support the best you can. So if you can all get down to Erith Town, brilliant, fantastic. They're targeting 300. But if you can't, just get down to your local non-league, wherever it is, because trust me, there are a lot of good people who work in non-league football who work absolutely round the clock just to get these games on. So give it a crack.
100%. I came in yesterday via the Elizabeth line to Abbey Wood. It's on a bus, 229 bus. Listeners, all you Bexley Heath listeners out there, 177 I saw go past me, and 472, I think. So it's dead easy to get there, and you can have a few beers. You're not driving your car, jump on the bus and go home, and it's a nice afternoon out. Fully recommend it. I enjoy myself. Big thank you, Michael. Thanks for coming on the show, mate.
No problem. And let's stay positive and guarantee championship safety next season. There we go. You heard it here first.
And big thank you to the milk tray man, Harry. You can't see him this because we don't do video on this show. Should we do video, Harry? Should we go to the video option? What do you think?
When you're looking like the milk tray man.
Last time I wore this roll neck,
I got
told that I look like a shit Steve Jobs by a work colleague. So I've had milk tray man and shit Steve Jobs. So I'll take either. But I don't mind. I think we should go to video. But we should do an award show this year. We've never done one.
No, we haven't, we actually. No. Awards for what?
There's not many people. There's not many people can pull off roll necks, Harry. You can't, but there's not many that can.
Yeah, no, that's true, mate. That's definitely true. I mean, people can pull this off me. There's many people that can do
back
that.
We're back on Tinder now.
Yeah, we are. Yeah.
We'll think about the awards. Have a think, listeners, about what awards you want us to give and to whom. The Joe Edwards Award for failed football manager. I can't think of any.
The beauty in the face of adversity.
I think there's got to be
act on most ridiculous comment of the year. That's got to be one. Fucking candidates for that.
That's Bobby T every week, isn't it?
I don't know. Fizz and Tony Mundy have got some fucking real strong competition.
Oh, yeah, thank
you. Tony won't be listening to this because I'm on. So
he does. Big thank you, Harry Warren. Big thank you, Michael Avery. Big thank you to you too, dear listeners, for tuning in. We'll hopefully get some voicemails, and we're getting a voicemail show. We'll see how many we get. But until next edition of Achtung Millwall, it's from me, Nick Hart. It's Arrivederci Millwall, and bye for now.
Achtung Millwall.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.